Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome, Auburn, into the Tuesday edition of Sports Call live on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. My name is Ryan Lavoie, the host of the show today. I'm joined by Brooks Childress, and we have a shortened edition of the show on this Tuesday. We'll be getting off air no later than 4:15 today as Beauregard High School baseball travels to Beulah. We'll have that game on the airwaves just a few minutes prior to 4:30. So again, that is why we will be on a very shortened show today. In this shortened show, of course, we want to hear from you on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line at 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. And we'll also have birthdays in sports. We will talk some Auburn baseball since we didn't get to it yesterday. We also did not get to NFL free agency yesterday, so if we have time for that today, we will. If not, we'll get to that tomorrow. And, of course, a lot to talk about here on this Tuesday and a short time to do it. Also want to remind you, as this show begins, we're going to remind each and every day this week, Friday we will be having a special edition of the program. It will be going on air a half hour earlier. It'll be going on air at 2:30, and it will serve as kind of a live watch party for the Auburn basketball game in the SEC tournament. Of course, we understand that we are a medium that does not involve watching, but we will be watching the game in our studio and commenting and breaking down the game and the X's and O's as it happens during the game on Friday. Again, that's projected to be a 2:30 start time, so we will be doing that. And then once it ends, of course, we want to hear from you on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. And if you have any reaction to the game after the fact, we will be on air until 6 o'clock as we normally would. So the show starts at 2:30 on Friday, a watch-slash-listen party to the Auburn basketball game in the SEC tournament, our live reaction and commentary throughout, and then we'll have the post-game analysis and that sort of thing and hear from some of our callers in the aftermath of whatever occurs, good or bad. So that's what's on the docket for Friday. But again, a short show today, so let's get to it. Brooks Childress, I hope you are well on this Tuesday. Good to see you again.
I am doing well. It's good to see you as well. It is a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday. March basketball continues to roll through conference tournaments. The ACC tournament got getting started today. Currently, right now, the first game of that tournament is going on. And so we're here. The SEC tournament kicks things off for them tomorrow night with two games. And so March basketball is here, and it's great. It's great. Auburn baseball getting set for a big neutral site game against in-state foes, Troy Trojans, tonight up there in the Rocket City in Madison, Alabama, right outside of Huntsville, where the Rocket City Trash Pandas reside in their ballpark. So they're a big game there before they head up to Nashville this weekend. So can't wait to break down all the sports today. Can't wait to get to some of this NFL free agency, some of the Auburn baseball. And yeah, you mentioned we got the short show today because of Beauregard baseball. We're making it up for you on that Friday show, and we have a longer show, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, we are adding to it on Friday. So looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a fun show. And, again, we are under no illusion of people not be paying attention to the Auburn games. We'll give you a way to watch it and listen to us at the same time because we'll be talking all about that game on Friday. Let's get to it here on this Tuesday afternoon, though. And I want to start with a little Auburn baseball because that was something that we were not able to get into much yesterday, Brooks. But what an odd series for the Tigers against Austin Peay. And then coming into tonight against Troy, last matchup before They get into conference play against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it's it was a very, very interesting series for Auburn. You had the walk-off win on Friday against Austin Peay. Then you came and got kind of hit around on Saturday. Really Carson Myers' first poor start of the year when he got moved up to that Saturday spot in place of Joseph Gonzalez. But got hit around a little on Saturday. But Butch Thompson said it was probably the worst game he'd ever been a part of as the head coach at Auburn. And then Sunday turned it right around and say, and the team kind of took that to heart and said, all right, well, we're going to give you one a really good one then. And then they ended up 24-5 winners over Austin Peay on Saturday or on Sunday. You had guys like Cooper Weiss had 4 RBIs, Derek Fabian had 4 RBIs, Ike Irish had 3 RBIs, Gavin Miller had 5 RBIs, Cooper McMurray had 4 RBIs. It's a lot of guys had some big at bats on Sunday, but you know you look at the series. It was a very important series. You know, Tom was talking about it yesterday. How you know he was. You know, heard Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball talking about this was a sneaky good series. We mentioned it into last week too on this program. If you remember, folks that were listening, that Austin Peay is a team that is very good. They went and they won swept in a 2-game series at Mississippi State. Ryan, you mentioned that yesterday, and they're a very good baseball club out of the A-Sun. And they showed it. They showed that they're capable of beating an SEC team on well, they showed it against Mississippi State, but then they showed it against Auburn on Saturday, getting that game. But it was big. It was a big game. It was a big series because this has been one of the first true series that Auburn has faced a lot of adversity in. You saw, you know, I know you went down to Jacksonville and you faced some adversity in that Friday game against Iowa and then that Sunday game against Virginia, but that wasn't a series. Those were 3 different games. So this was a good, I think it was a very good tune-up for this baseball program to tackle when you've got a team like Austin Peay coming into town. And you face adversity throughout the weekend. You battle back from it, and you set yourself up to, like you mentioned, go up and take on a Troy team tonight that is a fairly decent Troy team out of the Sun Belt, and then keep that road trip going this weekend facing a very good Vanderbilt squad.
Look, and you outlined it there, but just for emphasis again, what a turnaround and what a kind of series where you had everything and everything both positively and negatively. I mean, you had a thrilling victory after you had gave up a pretty sizable lead on the Friday game and hit a tying homer in the eighth and then a walk-off in the ninth. You follow up on Saturday. Austin Peay got going early, and Auburn with 7 errors. And you get 7 of a lot of things in baseball. You do not get 7 team errors every day. That as Butch Thompson described, maybe the worst game he'd ever coached at Auburn. I mean, that perspective from it is, it's not about you lost 15-6. Auburn has lost the game 15-6 before. And it's not even necessarily to Austin Peay, because as we discussed, Austin Peay might end up being a tournament team this year. It's too early to tell, but they're certainly going to be better than most of all those mid-majors. But it's that you kick it around in every sense of the word, and you have almost an error in inning. And that's just not something that good teams do. And so that was a big frustration point, is how they lost. Not, again, pitchers will get shelled from time to time. College baseball, the ball flies everywhere. But it was all the errors aiding Austin Peay and just continuous throughout the game. But then you go on Sunday and you beat someone as bad as you can, 24-5. I know Austin Peay got a couple late. But Auburn only batted 6 times. I mean, they did not finish the 7th inning. When you're leading like that, you don't bat the bottom of the 7th, obviously. So they scored 4 runs per inning for 6 innings. They scored in every inning. It was resounding. And so this team continues to impress me with the bats. I still think that there are pitching questions, and I think that they will have very real answers after this weekend in Nashville. But I think this team is pretty thoroughly sound in the lineup. They've got some home run options. They got 4 or 5 guys that might end up in double-figure home runs this year. I certainly think with the start Ike Irish has had, he's destined to that. I think Derek Fabian has been surprisingly powerful so far this year. He's already got 5 homers. We did expect power from Cooper McMurray. That's not a big surprise that he's got 5 early. Both those guys, by the way, same exact power numbers, 5 homers, 21 RBIs. So they're also destined for potentially 50, 60 RBI seasons too. And then you also got a couple of guys with 4. Bobby Pierce, who, of course, you don't get a name like Bobby Barrels if you don't have at least a little bit of pop in the bat. And then Christian Hall, who's already hit some timely home runs this year, so including the game-tying one on Friday. So I think that you're looking at a situation where this team looks like it has the power. It's got a very unique speed guy in Cooper Weiss, who has basically as many steals as they played games so far. They've got some balanced hitters, some guys that can hit for a good average with a little bit of power, like Mason Manners. I mean, I think he's leading the team right now in batting average. You've got the power that I just displayed. Again, Ike Irish is an all-around great hitter. I think 311 for him is honestly a bit low. I think that you usually see guys be a little bit higher in the non-conference and lower in conference. Obviously, conference play is really tough. I don't think you'll see Irish's batting average lower too much. I would be of the opinion that he would be able to stay in the 300s despite only being around 311 right now. And I say only just because he that 311 is 5th on the team right now. So you got a lot of guys off the hot start. So, again, I'm really pleased by the offense. It's just that defensive day makes you a little bit worried, coupled with, all right, what will Joseph Gonzalez actually be this year? Because he's gotten hit a couple times. They skipped a start to work on some things. Perfectly understandable to do that, but that's not someone, obviously, that is dealing right now. And then you've gotten good things from Carson Myers. Can that continue in the conference play? Chase Alsop's looked a little shaky at times. Has certainly not dominated the early going. So I think you've got real questions there on the mound. And again, that there's no obvious answer to me right now. We're going to have to see it in SEC play to see the true depth of if that's a big problem, a little deal, no big deal, big deal type of thing that we like to do on the show from time to time. But I do think this offense is really good. And I Brooks, I don't know about you. I really enjoy them playing neutral site games. Mm-hmm. I know that it is fun for the smaller state of Alabama teams to get an opportunity to host a team like Auburn, and they would certainly cherish that opportunity. We do know that that does not necessarily happen. A lot of these, it feels like a lot of these Southern teams take the opportunity to try to play in a different venue if they're playing a smaller team. But
yeah.
I enjoy Auburn being able to take their show on the road in the state, not only to yes, some of these smaller schools, but also to bigger cities in the state mm-hmm. that don't necessarily have the Auburn, Alabama type of team.
Yeah, and you know, especially when you look at and I'll go bigger picture here. When you think about Auburn athletics, people travel a long way for football. Anything outside of that, basketball is starting to get there where people will travel a little bit for basketball, but outside of football. It's not as big. Nobody, you know, the far reaches of the state, people just aren't going to travel as much as you would for football. And so that's why, you know, in recent years, you've seen Bruce Pearl take the team down to South Alabama, play a true road game at South Alabama, because there's not a lot of Mobilian Auburn fans or Baldwin County Auburn fans that are going to make that trip up for basketball every single year. You see them this year take the trip to Huntsville for the Rocket City Classic, just like baseball is doing. And so it's good to get fans, you know, the experience, exposure to Auburn basketball for baseball. And even, you know, you keep going down the list, baseball, definitely not as many travelers. So you get this, you know, they've done this the past 2 or 3 years now where they've gone to Huntsville and played this every year. I know it's not as far of a trek, but every year you go to play that, game in Montgomery. It used to be the Capital City Classic with, against Alabama every year. Now it's, you know, you're playing South Alabama. And so you do, like you said, you do get to go play some of these smaller schools at their places. I know you're going up to Birmingham twice this year. Neither time you're playing at UAB or Samford. I think the UAB game is going to be at Regions Park, and the Samford game is going to be their SEC tournament preview at the Hoover Met. But still, you're going twice to Birmingham, And so you're getting some exposure up there. You're taking the show around the state for recruiting recruiting purposes. You get some of the guys some of the in-state kids that you're recruiting in those areas to come see you play live. I really hope that's in the near future. Auburn baseball gets to go down to the Mobile area or Baldwin County area and play a game down there or a series down there. That would be fun to get the southern part of the state involved down there. But yeah, you really like to go play at some of these smaller schools. Troy's got a great baseball environment. Jacksonville State's got a great baseball environment. But also going to some of these neutral sites, some of these bigger cities where there is a bigger Auburn population that may not get to travel to see Auburn baseball every year, it's good to get the program up there and in their faces.
Let's head to our first timeout of this shortened edition of the show today. When we come back, we'll head to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line for the first time today. A little bit later, we will have birthdays in sports and trying to get a word or two in on NFL free agency. It's really not slowed down that much today. There's been a lot of deals in the last 24, 36 hours. Trying to update you on that in a little bit as well. Again, getting off air at 4:15 today, taking our first timeout right now. Stay tuned. More Sports Call coming up after this.
Sports Call has been on the air since 1995.
This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app, or if you're listening after the fact on the Sports Call podcast presented by Coca-Cola. We certainly appreciate you, however you may be tuned in this afternoon. All right, let's head to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line for the first time today, 334-887-3401 locally, or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Up first this afternoon,
Ward Dam Steve.
Retired Ward Dam Steve is with us. Steve, how are you today? Steve, you with us?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Yep.
Okay. I was saying I am so happy and glad to see that you guys are doing what you're going to be doing Friday for all those Auburn fans.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're looking forward to it.
So I'm looking forward to it so I can share my yelling with you guys then.
Sure thing.
Okay. Let's get to it. I know time is short. We have a game tonight with Troy. Guys, I know it's a non-conference game. How motivated do you think the guys are going to be to put their best performance or not?
Well, I think you're always motivated when you play in-state teams. You've probably played against some of those guys at some point. There is going to be some familiarity there. Now, Troy's off to a pretty good start this year. I'm not sure of their complete resume from who they beat and that sort of thing, but they are 12-5, so they're going along okay in the non-conference. I am looking at it right now. They did challenge Alabama. They lost 8-7 to Alabama in the midweek last week. So they did challenge them. So I would expect a challenge from Troy today. And you know, with those midweek kind of contests, everybody ends up losing one at some point. And hopefully it's not this one. I'm not suggesting it will necessarily be this one. But you are getting ready for conference play, trying to iron out some pitching stuff if you're Auburn. So I think that they will value the opportunity to be in front of some different Auburn fans in Huntsville, but nevertheless, you never know, and Troy is capable of challenging them.
And I see we're starting with McBride tonight.
Yeah, Connor McBride. He's been the midweek guy for most part. He's had three starts all in the midweek, 2.63 ERA. It's 2-0 on the year.
Okay, all right. Let's get going, guys. If you know by chance a local bookie, or you want to find Las Vegas, go ahead and bet the house on Mr. Rick Pitino's apparently prediction of who's going to win the NCAA tournament, guys. Have you seen his prediction?
I did not.
It's Purdue.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. He apparently was on podcast called Part My Take.
Uh-huh.
And that was on yesterday. That's when he made his prediction. Although he also said that Houston, UConn, Kansas, Marquette, and a couple of others who he didn't name were all capable of winning it all as well. But he, somebody that likes Purdue. What do you think, guys?
I think that Purdue is, I mean, they are one of the best teams in the country. I don't think they are the best. And, you know, look, if you factor in, if you believe in history repeating itself, who's the other one seed to lose to a 16? It was Virginia. What'd they do the next year? They won the title. Purdue last year loses to a 16. They're going to repeat as a one seed this year, and they still have Zach Edey. I think they've got better shooting. I do think they will make a decent run. That's not my title pick as of right now, but I definitely think it has merit, and they are certainly one of the teams that is going to be considered.
Okay. Moving on real quickly to all the bracketology experts. Because I'll come up this morning. Bracket Matrix has three SEC teams in seeding as being number four. They are Kentucky, Alabama, and Auburn. Illinois is the fourth team from the Big Ten. And then I look at the other people. Okay, then we go to who? Mr. Infamous or famous Joe Lunardi. For some reason, he just doesn't seem to be impressed with our team, but he has us as a five seed.
Oh, he must have moved Auburn down then, because
I'm sorry. He has a four seed.
Right.
So Jerry Palm has us a five seed.
Right. I'm not sure why Palm moved him down, but four is still the most common sentiment. But there, you're seeing a few fives out there.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, Jerry Palm, for some reason he had us high, then all of a sudden he dropped us. I don't know what explains that. Then I went to the team rankings people, and they have us an A3 seed.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, that also seems to be along with the fives is not as common. Again, four is the most common, and that doesn't mean it's what it will be. We'll see what they'll actually do, but I certainly don't think this team should be dropped to a five. I can't promise you that they won't. I've told you what the reasoning is why they are more of a four than not more of a two or something like the analytics say they would be, but it's that quad one stuff, obviously. But I do think that they should not be dropping to a five. I don't agree with the other teams passing them. I've gone over some of the particulars in a team like San Diego State. I don't know who Jerry Palm has as all of his fours, but maybe BYU would be the other four. Great conference too, but you're splitting hairs there. I still think Auburn should be a four though.
Okay, I'll tell you his fours are Kentucky,
right?
Alabama,
yeah. Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and then BYU.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to study BYU's resume more intently, but all I know is that Auburn has been above them through really the whole process. Auburn has not lost as of late.
1-7. Is that what they're going with, the 1-7?
Yeah, I mean, yes, that is the part of the resume that is troublesome from Auburn, but at some point you still they're going to have a worse record there than every team in the top 30, honestly. And you're not going to put them down. 30 would be like an 8 seed. You're not putting them down there. So it's not everything, but it is the bad part of Auburn's resume. It is why they are not going to be a 2 and why they're having a problem getting to be a 3. But it should, in my opinion, they are still, because of all the things we've talked about, double-digit victories, being top 4 in the SEC, they are still a top 16 team in the country. And they should still be treated as that, period. And at some point, you do have to look at eye test a little bit. I know it's not a lot, but you still have to look at that a little bit too. So BYU's good. They deserve to be a 5, but I don't think that they warrant being over Auburn.
All right. Let's go to the SEC predictions of Brack winning. This is from Team Rankings. They have their top 3, or I'm looking here, most likely is percentage-wise to win the tournament. They surprised me. Auburn, they give the highest prediction winning the tournament, 29%. Then they have Tennessee, not too far behind, at 28.2%, and Alabama at 22.29%. What do you guys think about those for prediction percentages.
I almost wonder if Auburn being the slight favorite there has to do with maybe the perceived nature of their quarterfinal game being a little bit easier against South Carolina than maybe Alabama's would against Florida or something like that. Or maybe it's the way that Auburn played at Tennessee versus the way Alabama played at Kentucky earlier this year when you're looking at the semifinal matchup. That would be my best guess there. But I think what is true is that all four teams have a shot at it. And they've all at various times this year looked to be as good as anybody in the SEC. Now, I still think Tennessee is still, to me, just a little bit better than these other teams. But obviously Kentucky just went in there and outscored Dalton Connect. And so Kentucky, you know, can do it. Auburn gave them a great game in Knoxville. I mean, again, it took Connect having 39 to beat them.
He won't do that again.
Well, he did. He scored 40 against Kentucky, so he's capable of it. Probabilities say, no, yeah, he won't do it again, but he could. He's one of the best players in the country. But, you know, I think that Auburn matched up pretty well with Tennessee. So there's not a group there, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, where you just can't see that team beating the other team. Again, I would say that, yeah, Alabama losing twice to Tennessee, maybe you would not feel good about Alabama in that circumstance, but that wouldn't happen till the final. So, but most combinations of those four, you can see it either way.
All right. The only thing that troubled me about our tournament, because we've had, you talk about trends and patterns, since Coach Bruce Pearl has been our coach, he has, for some reason, we've not done well in SEC tournaments. But I think we've only gone past the first round only once.
I believe so. I think they've only won it or lost in the first. I will double check all. No, that's not true. That's true of the teams that once they won a regular season title. Do recall the KT Harrell team that went to the semis before getting beat by Kentucky. They had won a couple games that year. But if you're talking starting with what a lot of people like to think of as the start of this run, the start of the true Bruce Pearl Auburn teams being that regular season champion of 2018, they did lose, I believe, in the first round. Then you had the 19 team win it. And, yeah, I think they've been one and out ever since then. I will double-check all that, but I believe so.
Does he not think they matter very much? Because my son, again, reminded me that I said, did he really say that, that the SEC tournament is not that big a deal?
Yeah, for the tournament committee, yes. I think we all want – I just think in general it's a
Bruce
good
– Pearl said that.
Well, but he said it about the committee, not – not saying
okay.
It's a big deal, I believe.
Not from himself. Okay.
Right. I think that they want to hoist a trophy. They certainly value the regular season championship. I think the coaches value it, but I don't think that the committee values, and I think that was what, right. I'll have to double check the context, but I think that was where Pearl was coming from, is that, because in fact, I did watch Stephen Pearl say it on another show earlier today where he said, yeah, the committee does not value it. I will still maintain that they should, and in general, just a no-duh kind of thing, you want to play well coming into the NCAA tournament, and that is meaning beat a couple teams in the SEC tournament. Try and hoist that trophy.
Okay, and finally, guys, I do mean this finally. I saw this interesting article from AM.com from Roy F. Johnson. Have you read it about Cadillac, one of the Raiders?
I have not.
You might want to check it out. See what's the title of it. It's called Cadillac Williams, Now a Man in Black, The Good Lord's Got Me Where I'm Supposed to Be, he quotes March 11th. And what caught my attention is when he was apparently writing this article, he talked apparently or interviewed Cadillac about this. He asked him about his decision to go in to the Raiders and how he felt about it. He said, quote, this is God-given, he shared with me during a recent telephone conversation. And then he says, Cadillac, we don't say the following. And this, I want to hear your take, because I said, wow, what's he meaning here? But he said, to be on a coaching staff with a lot of former players, but also a head coach who believes in relationships, who believes in serving people in a genuine, authentic way, I couldn't have written a better script. Then he goes on to say he loves Auburn and still hopes the best for them. But, guys, was he saying something about Coach Hugh Freeze?
No, I don't take that to mean there.
Good, because I was wondering, what was he meaning when he said coach who believes in relationships, who believes in serving people in a genuine, authentic way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's more of a positive of Antonio Pierce, the Raiders coach, than it is anything about Hugh Freeze. I think if you've listened to Hugh Freeze, I think you hear a guy that clearly values relationships. He wants to be a very relational coach, not only with his players, but also with his coaches. And look, I think that Freeze is certainly more comfortable with his guys, and I think he said as such in the previous or the opening press conference of spring. But I do not think that means he has not tried to build relationships with all of his coaches. And again, I think that when you look into Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach, one of the reasons he did get that job is, yes, as an interim, they did win a little more. But also, the players absolutely adored him because he was very relational and he was a very relationship-driven coach. And so I think that that is, again, more about Antonio Pierce. I do not think that is – I would be very surprised if that was about Auburn in any way.
Okay. And I don't know if Roy Johnson has been some story done. I don't know if he has this is a dig at Freeze or not, but he asked – Cadillac, the final question, he says, have you heard from Hugh Freeze since joining the Raiders? And Cadillac said, no, I haven't. Do you think Hugh Freeze should have contacted him or not?
I don't know. Let me remind you that this was – there was some other stuff going on behind the scenes that we aren't fully privy to with the exit there. So I don't know the entirety of the situation, but – I think it would be a good thing to reach out. I do not think it's required to be labeled relationship positive or anything like that. I don't know.
Okay. That's it, guys. Thanks for your time as always. My time is way up. I'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow. But until then, have a safe afternoon and evening. War Eagle always.
War Eagle Steve, appreciate that phone call. That is retired War Damn Steve joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. We need to head to our next timeout. Still ahead, birthdays and sports, a little bit about NFL free agency, and much more. Again, we will be out at 4:15 today, so get your call in now, 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Sports Call returns in just a few moments.
Attention, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
We're Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show.
Hi, my name is...
What?
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. Want more Sports Call? Check us out online at sportscallauburn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie and Brooks Childers with you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, another reminder of a shortened show. We're getting off air at 4:15 today. Also want to remind you of the show on Friday starting 30 minutes earlier at 2:30 so that we can break down, have kind of a watch party for the Auburn basketball game in the SEC tournament. So we will be breaking that down and analyzing that game as it happens. Again, that's a projected 2:30 or so start time on Friday. Could start a little bit later. The first game's at noon. Auburn plays 25 minutes after
We'll see if it's a close game. That could make it be a few minutes after. But we're coming on air at 2:30 on Friday. We'll go off on air, at 6 as we would any day, any full show day. But we will start at 2:30 so that we can be a part of the action there from Nashville on Friday. So looking forward to that. Few minutes left here in hour number one. Again, reminder of the short show. Beauregard Baseball coming up at 4:30 today. Also, Smith Station will be on air. Smith Station Softball at 5 today. They got an area game against Opelika. So you'll hear Brant Daughtry. Tom Peavy will be out there. That's why he's not on this show. He'll be out there on FM Talk 93.9. That's a 5 o'clock start time there. Final few minutes here of hour number one. Let's get to today's birthdays in sports.
It's time for today's birthdays in sports.
We start off with Dale Murphy, who's 68 today. Of course, former MLB player Murphy, best known for his long tenure with the Atlanta Braves. In Atlanta, Murphy was a 2-time NL MVP, 7-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glove winner, and much more. He ended his career with over 2,100 hits, over 1,200 RBIs. His number 3 is retired by the Braves. He's a member of the Braves Hall of Fame. Also a member of the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame, the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, and World Sports Humanitarian Hall of Fame.
And it doesn't mention it there, but he played collegiate baseball at Brigham Young University, formerly known as, or currently known as BYU. Yeah. And I think everybody more knows it as BYU. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs. Dale Murphy is 68 today. Daryl Strawberry is 62. Former MLB player Strawberry was selected first overall in the 1980 MLB draft by the New York Mets. Strawberry's best days came with the Mets as he would go on to make 8 All-Star appearances, an NL Rookie of the Year, and 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He also won 3 World Series during his career. He is a member of the New York Mets Hall of Fame. Daryl Strawberry is 62 today.
Also a home run derby champion.
Power hitter.
Yeah.
There you go. Dante Hightower is 34, former NFL linebacker, played college football somewhere in the state before being selected 25th overall in the 2012 NFL draft by the New England Patriots.
He was good then.
All forgiven. Hightower became a critical piece in the Patriots dynasty on the defensive side of the ball, being a 2-time Pro Bowler, second-team All-Pro, and 3-time Super Bowl champion. Was named to the Patriots All-Dynasty team and Patriots All-Decade team. After his playing career, Hightower has gone into coaching and last month was hired by the Patriots as their linebacker coach for also former Patriot linebacker Jerod Mayo. Dante Hightower is 34 today. Isn't it nice, Brooks, to have an all-dynasty team?
Yeah.
It's not something that many of us can do.
I didn't even realize the Patriots had an all-dynasty team.
Yeah, what if the Lions were like, hey, all-dynasty team from that one time we made the playoffs? You know, or just winning simply a Super Bowl.
We won a playoff game, and we got to face the San Francisco 49ers. Jared Goff, all-dynasty quarterback.
Yeah. So that's first world problems. Anyway, Dante Hightower, 34 today. And Jermaine Whitehead is 31. Former NFL safety, Whitehead played college football at Auburn.
War Eagle.
Where he was a great player. He started 33 games for the Tigers in 2014, where he had 6 interceptions. He would then go undrafted in the 2015 NFL draft, but he carved out a good career for an undrafted free agent, playing multiple seasons with the Packers and other teams. Jermaine Whitehead is 31 today. And those are the birthdays in sports here on March the 12th. Jermaine Whitehead is 31. Dante Hightower is 34. Daryl Strawberry is 62. And Dale Murphy is 68. Final few minutes of this hour. We're not going to get the deep dive into it, Brooks, but man, NFL free agency the last 24 to 36 hours. Good Lord. There have been so many signings, as much running back movement as you can remember. I mean, there's been 7 or 8 of the top, I would say, I don't know, 13, 14 running backs, it feels like, that have changed hands. You had a couple quarterbacks move or sign big deals. You've had a lot of linemen and a lot of money. Not too much on the, I would say not as much, at least on the defensive side of the ball. A few edge rushers moving, though, and a couple corners, but a lot the last 24, 36 hours. Maybe I'm just remembering the wrong thing, and certainly there's not a ton at the quarterback position. There's been a couple, but that's usually something that doesn't change hands a lot. But just a lot of money these last couple of days, and a lot of skill position players because of the running backs changing hands.
The NFL GM seemed to have seen the cap go up for this year and be like, all right, we're in. Let's go. Spend the money. Yeah, this is a lot of movement, and especially really early. And the league year doesn't start till tomorrow.
Yeah, technically this is none of this is signed, but
and so
you can agree.
It's like it's the what you call it the legal tampering period or whatever. And it's like you get all these deals. There's a lot of people moving around. There's a lot of, like you said, a lot of quarterback movement, a lot of names that you recognize, but nobody that's, it's not Josh Allen's not moving. Patrick Mahomes isn't moving, but it's guys that you recognize, guys that are, in some instances are going to play big parts in the teams that they're going to. Specifically, you've got, a Russell Wilson movement up there to the Steelers. You've got a Kirk Cousins moving here into the NFC South onto the Atlanta Falcons. You've got the backup quarterback, former starting quarterback of the Buccaneers, Jameis Winston, today joining with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, some odd backup stuff.
Yeah.
Darnold going to the Vikings. I'm almost worried that's their plan for their starter.
I hope so.
And Kirk Cousins is not elite, but he's solid. That is a serious downgrade. And they've got Justin Jefferson, who's probably going to get unhappy. Not enough time to go full deep dive on that. But, there's, no one that's just going to wow you in the quarterback market. But starting with Cousins and Wilson, okay, starters there. And then Mariota to Washington, which means are they done with Sam Howell? I guess, not shock. I guess they're going to go draft someone with the 2 pick. Maybe it'll be Drake May, as we joked in the office. Brooks, you brought it up. Maybe they just don't want 2 Carolina quarterbacks at the same time. But it's weird quarterback stuff, honestly, with how quickly some of these true backups. Heck, your team, Brissett.
Yeah.
Is that the starter plan? I really hope not.
I hope not either. Because you made the trade this past weekend for getting send Mac Jones out of town, but you still have Bailey Zappe on the roster. Now you're going to have Jacoby Brissett. I still think it still feels like they're going to go and draft a quarterback. Although there's some mock drafts that have taken Marvin Harrison with that 3rd pick. I don't know what's going to happen. And speaking of wide receivers, T. Higgins just got the franchise tag not too long ago, or he requested a trade yesterday. Did you not see that?
Oh no, Higgins. Okay, yeah. I heard tag, and I'm like, they didn't do that. I was confused. He doesn't want to be there. Yeah.
With the free agency on top, the free agency stuff, T. Higgins is like, oh, cool, franchise tag. No, I don't want to be here anymore. Bye.
We'll get into more of that in the final segment of the show. Really too much to even get in those 10 or so minutes. But we are out of time for hour number one. Again, only one more segment of the show coming up next. Again, getting off air at 4:15 today as Borgard High School baseball will be on the air just prior to 4:30. One more segment of Sports Call. Stay tuned. It returns right after this.
One hour of our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break. Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Final few minutes of Sports Call today on this Tuesday afternoon, Tiger 95.9, Ryan Lavoie and Brooks Childress with you. Only about 10 or so minutes remaining in our program today as, again, we'll have Borgard High School Baseball at Beulah coming up in about 20 minutes or so, 4:30 first pitch. So get on air just a few minutes before that. Also, Smith Station softball on our airwaves, FM Talk 93.9. 5 o'clock, first pitch for that one. They take on Opelika in an area matchup. So, busy batted ball sports day here on our family of Tiger Communications stations. In the final few minutes here, just want to continue going over NFL free agency. Didn't get into much of it in the first hour. Won't get into the completion of it here in just a few minutes, as there have been a lot of it. But let's spend some time on those quarterbacks real quickly. We'll have running backs to get to in future day and that sort of thing. The two biggest ones, because, again, there was some smaller stuff that was interesting, and you kind of hope those teams surely will not do that, but maybe. The two biggest ones were Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh and Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. You did have a couple re-signings, but those are the two biggest ones. Those are two new ones. Cousins, 4 years, 190, 100 guaranteed. I believe it's 45, 45 in the first 2 years, and then 10 guaranteed in the third year, so not much there. Obviously nothing guaranteed in the fourth. And then Russell Wilson's on just like a one-year minimum, basically, because of the 30-some-odd million he was owed from Denver. So Pittsburgh got to sign him as if he was a second- or third-string option. But he goes into that. That's supposed to be a battle, him and Pickett. I would think he'd win that job, personally. We'll see. But Wilson to Pittsburgh, Cousins to Atlanta. Brooks, your thoughts?
I would hope that Russell Wilson would automatically have the leg up there in that competition. But we'll have to see. But I think that that coupled with a couple other signings that the Steelers have done over the last 24 or 48 hours or announced, I think is. Pretty, it sets them up to be in a fairly decent place next year. I don't know if they're, win the division good next year, because you still have Baltimore, who continues to make moves and continues to build up there, and they won the division this year. You've got Cincinnati, who hopefully has Joe Burrow back this year healthy. You've got a Cleveland team that continues to have a huge, a really good one defensive roster, but a really, really good roster there. And so I just think that these moves for Pittsburgh and bring if Russell Wilson does end up winning the starting job, makes them a lot more competitive in that division and gets them back to competing for a playoff spot out of that division. The Falcons, I think, is you needed a quarterback, and they went out and they saw they were at 8 in the draft, which is where they're used to being. And at 8, you are not going to get one of those elite 3 quarterbacks when it comes to Williams or Daniels or Drake May. And so if you were going to draft a quarterback in the first round, you'd have to settle for somebody. I say settle. You'd have to go and maybe look at a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix or somebody on that next level rather than one of those top three. And I guess Atlanta. You looked at the pieces you had there, and on offense, on defense, and they decided that it was more of a move to go and get a veteran that they could try to win right now and try to win with some of these rookies still on their rookie deal or some of the young guys still on their rookie deal. They were rumored to be looking around at Justin Fields, sniffing around a trade there with the Bears. Obviously that didn't go down. I think this is a move that helps them to get back to being a team that can compete for playoff spots out of the NFC South. I think, with the Panthers continuing to do whatever it is that they choose to do, the Saints are, don't seem like they're moving. They're kind of treading water right now. They're sitting there. They're a team that could compete for a playoff spot, but, they're not a team that you could also see, having a very down year. So I think the Falcons and the Bucks now are the teams that are going to be the two main teams battling it out for possibly the division, but most definitely both battling for playoff spots and out of the NFC South with this Kirk Cousins move.
Yeah, look, I'll start with Cousins. I think that that they had a two roads diverged type of decision to make this offseason. They could have at some point decided, we're going to be aggressive in the draft, and we're going to try to get a franchise guy and go that way. And maybe it would have still been available at 8, but certainly if you trade up a few spots, you get there with one of the three big names. Or they went with – and also Fields could have been a 1B to that if they went Fields. He's definitely someone still developing and trying to get better in his NFL career. You don't know exactly what he is or isn't yet, but it will become clear in the next year or two. So you could have gone that route, more of a futuristic, let's try to boom this. Let's try to get the guy, the stud, that will be somewhat franchise-changing. They decided to go with a lower ceiling but higher floor move in Kirk Cousins. You get Cousins, and as long as there's not any lingering Achilles effects next year, that's a competent NFL quarterback. I think at his best, he's flirted with the top 10 in the regular season. And with that roster, that should be enough to outlast Tampa and win the division. Not for sure, but should be enough. The problem is that with Cousins, I think the ceiling is very real. I don't think Atlanta is dominant enough in some of their other positions to say, hey, you're now Super Bowl contending because you have Kirk Cousins and the rest of it's just awesome. The rest of it's good. It's been improving, but I wouldn't classify it as good enough to say average to slightly above average quarterback play gets you NFC Championship or Super Bowl. So I don't like it from the standpoint of I think that they really, if they got the quarterback right, whether it had been Fields or been one of these three draftees, May, Daniels, or Williams, I don't think they would have had great access to Williams, but I don't know. You have conversations with all those teams, one through three or four. Then that could have been their real ceiling play. To be fair, the floor would be lower. If it busts, then you've given away draft capital, and you would be in big trouble if it didn't hit. But I'm pretty darn confident those three. I don't know how I feel about Fields yet. I think it depends on the situation. I think there's still a version out there that's really good. I think there's a version out there that's not a starter beyond next year. So I think it depends. But, you know, I think that that was probably the more aggressive play, but a very tantalizing play. They went safer. They went with a clear upgrade. They went with something that should get them in the playoffs. And again, you certainly understand that. They've been out of the playoffs the last few years. In fact, they've had the exact same pick in the draft the last few years. So you understand just getting someone in there that is competent, that will not mess things up, that will improve the quarterback position, that will get the ball to your weapons. That's why they changed coach, changed quarterback. So you certainly think that they have improved. I'm just not sure that they did something that long-term, beyond the next couple of years, was the wisest. But I think, again, you improve yourself to a playoff-level team, it's hard to say no to that. Real quickly on Russell Wilson, I think that this is a great chance the Steelers are taking because it feels like Tomlin's timeline is just different. Like with Atlanta's timeline, there's no reason Atlanta's timeline had to be the next year or two. It could be in the next 4, 5, 6 years or beyond. Pittsburgh's timeline feels more sudden because of Tomlin, because of the angst there with missing the playoffs or at least not being a true playoff contender, a team that you expect to get out of the playoffs the last couple of years. They didn't make a playoffs, but they've been, again, nurturing around 500 with Pickett. And defense a little older. You know, Watson is prime now, but in 3 years, not so sure. You go that way with several of their defensive players. And so offensively, it felt that this is more of a timeline correction for them. And also, by the way, Pickett's just not that good. And I'm not saying he couldn't improve. He's only been in the league 2 years. You do have to allow for the possibility of it. But I looked it up, and this is just awful. And this is the appropriate way I'm going to end the show today. Kenny Pickett's played 25 games of quarterback in the National Football League. He has 13 touchdowns. Like, this is not 1994, okay? Emmitt Smith is not your running back, and you are not winning because of rushing for 175 yards a game. That's not how it's done anymore. So to have 13 touchdowns in 25 games, that's awful, and I don't care who the coordinator is, O Canada or not. Like, that is not good enough. So either you've got to improve or it's time for somebody else. And because of their timeline, they need it now. I'm good with them trying Russell Wilson. So I can't do the whole rundown on Wilson. We are running out of time for the show today, but I think Atlanta's move is solid. I think Pittsburgh's move makes sense. I think it's boom or bust for Pittsburgh because of the short timeline, and I think for Atlanta, I think they made themselves a probable playoff team, but did kind of cap their ceiling out for the next couple of years. All right, final minute or two of the show, time for Nightly TV Guide.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide.
Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide is presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Brooks, what do we have?
Well, sir, we've got a couple movie picks for you this evening. 6:04 exactly on Movie Max. It's The Born Ultimatum, starring Matt Damon. Great movie franchise. Then 6:30 on FX, your Marvel fix of the evening. Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, is on tonight, so if you want to check that out. Basketball, basketball, basketball everywhere you look tonight. The Horizon League Men's Basketball Tournament, 6 o'clock ESPN Championship game. Milwaukee takes on, I believe, Oakland tonight. I'll have to double-check that. But it is the Horizon League Men's Basketball Championship tonight. Follow that up with also at the same time, ESPN2. It's the Northeast Men's Basketball Tournament Championship between Wagner and Merrimack, fighting it out for a spot in the NCAA tournament. Later on tonight, 7:30 on ESPNU, Big Sky Men's Basketball Tournament Semifinal 1 is on tonight. The second one should be on ESPN Plus. 8 o'clock on ESPN is the Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament Championship game. West Coast Men's Basketball Tournament Championship on tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN2. Doubleheader of NBA action tonight on TNT, 6:30. 76ers visit the Knicks, followed up at 9 o'clock by the Timberwolves visiting the Clippers. And then you got some soccer on tonight if you're not into basketball. CONCACAF Champions League soccer is on. Pachuca out of the Liga MX takes on Philadelphia Union. That is at 7 on FS1. And then at 9:20 on FS1, Tigres Ualnal, something like that, take on Orlando City. And that, my friends, is a Nightly TV Guide brought to my friends at White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Thank you very much for that, Brooks. And thank you for being on the show these first couple of days of this week. I hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll see you again later this week on the show.
See you then.
Again, that will do it for the show on this shortened show Tuesday. Again, Borgard High School baseball coming up in just a few minutes here on 95.9. Smith Station softball coming up in under an hour on 93.9. That will do it for the show today. As always, we appreciate all those that tuned in and called in. For Brooks Childress, my name is Ryan LaBoy. Have a great Tuesday evening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.